Welcome back, listeners, to another episode of The Road Less Traveled. I am your host, DB, and on today's episode, we're going to talk about pen pals. Not something you hear too often these days. I don't know if anyone's even had a pen pal. I don't know, have you? I did, actually, when I was in school. I can't remember, it was like second or third grade. They did some outreach program where you wrote to some kids in a different school. It was in a different country. I got a couple back. I can't even remember what it said, but it took so long. That was the thing. Like, it just took forever and a half to send, you know, anything. And things have gotten much quicker these days, but like, oh my God, international mail. Like, I would live in Hawaii at the time, so I can't even tell you what the turnaround time was, but I was in, like I said, second grade, so I forgot about it the second I sent it out. I was a child. Like, so there was almost no, like, recollection of, like, what did I even say to these people? So, weirdly enough, that's actually still one of the issues that pen pals will face. I don't know, like, because these days we have text threads, we have emails, we can follow the conversation, there's continuity, it's way easier. But if you send off a letter, well, you better remember what the fuck you were talking about, I guess. Or hopefully the other person realizes, you know, the disconnect, and they kind of cue you in to some of the conversation, which is something I had to do. So to give you context, I hope we're not getting new listeners jumping into this episode because they're like, what are we talking about? Listen to the intro episode for context. So circling back, this episode is going to be about, like I said, pen pals. Now, while I was incarcerated, I was able to sign up for a pen pal service. And so the way that works, let me bring you up to speed. I talked two episodes ago about one of the major fires that I was dispatched to in California. Now, when you go to fires, you get $1 per hour that you're at the fire. Well, I got like something like $368, which is only the cut of what I get. Mind you, I had like 500 something hours of fire time, but they take like a certain amount for room and board, a certain amount goes to savings. Restitution didn't apply at the time, although I had to pay it off later once I got out. Some people, it does go towards restitution, but that's generally if basically like they had an outstanding balance and then were, you know, got caught again and were in for a different crime, they would start taking out that balance from their prior crime first. So anyway, I got a bunch of money from my fire time, and it took weeks. It took a very, very, very long time to get that money, which they would already have taken their portion out immediately. And it seemed like anything that worked in the prison's favor was almost instantaneous. You're like very impressed with how efficient and quick and all these things that they're doing, like I said, in favor for them. But it was like anything they needed to do for you, oh, they just dragged their feet. They didn't give a shit. To them, you were just another number, which I had a number. I had two different numbers. I had one while I was in jail, then I had my prison number. They always referred to me as my last name, which I believe was to create distance or kind of dissociate. They never actually called me by my number, which would have been, I don't know. I kind of had to be very indifferent to everything, but I'm starting to get off track. So I used my fire money to sign up for a couple pen pal services. And I could have asked my cousin for money. But I felt weird. Like, I'd already asked him for a lot of money to help me for, like, real things, you know? Like hygiene stuff, like shampoo or toothpaste or, you know, what have you. Like, things that I actually needed. And I was able to purchase other things that I'd saved up money slowly over the 2 years while I was in county. But this was the first time, like, I knew that I was going to be a firefighter. Like, I was going to a fire camp. It was a minimum security conservation camp. And I just knew, like, since I was a DUI person, they would make me, put me in this position. So I was all for it because I was like, okay, that'll help me pass my time. And then people said that I would get money. And it for me, allowed me to kind of like have mentally something to look forward to, but also mentally to be like, okay, cool. I can use my own money for me. I can be proud of that. I can do it on my own kind of thing. Like, I am a very prideful person. So that's why when I was first in jail, like it was super fucked up. Like, it was incredibly humbling because I had to, you know, ask for help. I couldn't put money on my own account, even my own money. Like, I couldn't access that. And then when that ran out, like, I had to ask family for money. And it's just, I don't like doing that. Like, I feel very uncomfortable doing those things. And so, you know, I had to get through that. And of course, like, intellectually, I understand and know, at least with my family, like, they're so loving and they're so caring, and they would absolutely do those things selflessly for me. So it's not that. It's not like I'm afraid they're going to say no or something like that. Maybe I'm ashamed or embarrassed of how they would view me, or I don't know. I really don't know. I'm just very uncomfortable not being able to do certain things myself. So I was in a position where I had to ask for money. But finally, so I got some money of my own. I did my thing. I finally, like, worked and earned and got something, which I was surrounded by the exact opposite mindset of what I just stated. I was surrounded by, like, 90% just freeloading people that would absolutely love to be taken care of for the rest of their lives. Like as long as they could just smoke their meth and fuck their bitches, they were cool. Like, give them your money, give them your shit, give it all to them. They're gonna rob it from you anyway. So if you could just hook it up, that would be way better for them, way easier. But that's what I was surrounded by, like, that mindset. Like, they didn't care if they needed to just go out and get more stuff, because they were just going to take it. They were crafty. They were devious. They were mostly just addicted, which was pretty sad. And very weirdly creative mindsets, a lot of other stupid mindsets. But there were some very, like, weirdly intelligent people. Like, they could figure stuff out. And, you know, sometimes street smarts gets you way further than book smarts. Being able to figure out something, being able to break something down and understand how it works, you know, that takes its own kind of skill. And then if you can start reverse engineering stuff and making it work for you, why do you see so many meth heads with bikes? It's because they keep taking them apart and building new stuff. Yeah. Anyway, probably just an observation only I would make, because I don't know how many people you got, or how many of you are surrounded by meth addicts. I don't know, maybe you see them skittering up and down the streets while you're going to work or something. I don't know. I don't know where you live. I live in a major city, so, you know, I see them. Plus, I recognize the signs now, having lived amongst them. And I really wish they would get help. You know, a lot of them aren't bad people. I live with them. I had to coexist with a lot of those people. So I had to get along. I had to talk to them. And it humanizes them when you live with them. But also, I'm thankful that, like, it's hard because, like, you want to help, but also there's a certain point where like I said, they just are okay with taking as much and as they can get. So there's no point where you will ever be able to give enough. And so that will always take from you, and that will drain you. But we're getting sidetracked here. Way sidetracked, as I always am wont to do. So I found out from a couple people while I was in this conservation camp, like, hey, you can sign up for this pen pal website. And there's a few different ones. And so I was like, all right, here's the process. Basically, I found a couple guys. One guy had one pamphlet, and this other guy, he had what the first guy pamphlet said, and then he had another pamphlet for a different website. And the first one, I can't even remember. Like, I ended up paying $25, and, like, nothing came from it. I don't even think I got a letter from that. Like, I got written back, like, saying, hey, you're signed up or whatever. But I don't think I actually got an email from that one. But this other one, if you go to this website, let me see. I think it's just writerprisoner.com. I don't think it's very imaginative. But let me just double check here. Right. A prisoner. All right, reloading. We're on my tablet. Reloading, loading, loading, please. All right, well, anyway, as it's taking forever. Yeah, so writerprisoner.com, cool. You, basically, if you're on the, I don't know, the writer's side, the pen pal-y, you basically can go to this website, and I think you have to sign up. I'm not really sure if you guys have to pay on your end. I had to pay $50, and that's for a one-year subscription, and it allows me to post, I think, one or two photos. So here's the whole process. Let me rewind. It was a multi-step thing for me. Like, okay, I fought a fire. Now I have to wait, what, like 6 weeks to get my money or 5 weeks, something. It was a long time. And then now that I have my money, I also have to take a photo because now that I've, you know, I found these guys with these pamphlets, cool, whatever. Like, I have to pay money, right? Well, I'm not going to call my cousin because I don't want him to use his money for this. To me, this is a luxury item. It would have been much easier to call him and say, hey, can you do that? But one, calling him already costs money. Like, I have to use money to call him to use money. That's stupid. Secondly, I'm going to waste his time because we don't get to talk to each other all that often. So I have asked him for like certain luxury things like send me books, please, because I'm so bored, like things to help me. And he's done it. And I don't love him for that. I love him because he's my cousin. I'm very thankful that he's done those things and it helped educate me and it helped me while I was writing the book that I wrote. But this thing, this specific thing, the pen pal thing, seemed like a luxury item to me. And I wanted to do it on my own. So I had to, during kite call, which is during 6 p.m. at the end of the night, the start of the night, basically, after dinner, you get to go up to the office. And usually there's a very long line for these things. And kites are basically forms. And they have two carbon copies for the back of them. And you fill out these forms, and they can either go to the correctional officer, they can go to the lieutenant, they can go to the medical side, they can go to the case officer side. They can do any of those things, and you just basically fill it out to whatever you need. And I could also get a what's known as a brasslet. And a brasslet was a smaller piece of paper which had your information and then also what you wanted to do with the money that was in your account, basically a debit against that. And so I filled it out, needing specifically to have all the information for the website of where I was going to send this check to. And I also had to have the envelope ready for this because they don't give you a check. They're going to take your envelope, they're going to take your things, and then they will hand that over to like administration or accounting or whatever, and then they're going to cut a check against your account. And then once that finally happens, they're going to mail that stuff off. I actually got a slightly ahead of myself. Now, I also had to wait for when the photographer came to the camp. Now, the photographer was just one of the inmates that was with us. But it was whenever like the COs allowed him to use the camera. It was usually once a week. Like our camp, since it was a working camp and kind of like a privilege to be there, at least that's what they told us all the time. Like there were certain benefits to being there. And one was like they got visitations. At least you had to go to basically the prison next door, and that's where you got to visit certain other things and blah, blah, blah. But yeah, the photographer came once a week, or he was allowed to use the camera. And so I took a couple photos, which I think they were like $5 or $10 each, which I also had to write a bracelet for. But that was much quicker because you just took the slip to them direct. So anyway, then I had to wait for my photos to get processed, and then I had to pick them up later from the store lady, which was like anywhere from 2 to 4 days later, or also, by the way, at her whim, because sometimes she got moody. Yeah, she mistreated us just because sometimes she got moody, which she had to deal with a bunch of, you know, mouthy fucking inmates, but still, please, I didn't do it. So anyway, it was a very long process. Like, once I got the money, I had to do a couple other steps, a couple other hoops jumped through, but like, I assembled that package. I had my envelope. I had my pictures in there, which, of course, the COs judged me and made fun of me, which was fine. I had a decent rapport with them. Like, it was a mockery out of mutual respect, kind of. Like, they understood that I was there for a DUI, and they also understood, like, that I wasn't a complete dickhead, despite, you know, how I sound all the time. I mean well, and I'm not a bad guy. I don't know. I have a wry sense of humor. It's very dark and sarcastic, and some of that is because of just the situation that I've gone through, and a lot of it is a self-defense mechanism also. But, so, you know, we joked back and forth, sent the thing off, and then I forgot about it. And meanwhile, this is like summer, so it was somewhat harder to accomplish some of these things, because every once in a while, like, I'd hear fire call, get announced over the intercoms. And there was, I was tired sometimes. Sometimes I didn't want to go out to a fire. Sometimes you had just gotten back. Sometimes it was a fucking hour later, and you were just going out again. Sorry for all the language in this episode, but, I mean, it is a prison podcast. But so, yeah, there was times, like, I want to take these photos, guys, or, like, I need to do this, this, or that. And it just seems like the weekends when fires, like, all the time were happening. So I wanted to call family and friends. Couldn't do that. I mean, they worked most of the week. But anyway, so I forgot about sending this thing off. I fought fires all throughout the summer. And then on one of the fires, I'm not even kidding you, on one of the fires, I got a letter, and I can't remember who it's from. I can't remember who the first letter was. But I guess this is where I talked directly to the pen pals who I think are still listening to this. I don't know who's listening to this. There are listeners, though. That's the crazy thing. There are people out there just listening. And I thank you so much for sticking with me. But I think a couple of them are pen pal related. So, guys, I want to keep it very straight with you. Like, there, I had a lot of people write me at first. Like, I had a ton of people write me. And it was overwhelming because, like, I had to handwrite everything back. A lot. Some of these letters came typed. Some of them came handwritten. Some of them were long. Most of them were, like, short to medium. But I wanted to be very clear to you pen pals that are listening, which is probably only like two, maybe three of you. You're the ones that are still here, guys. That's it. And that's awesome. Like, thank you for still being here. And I hold nothing against the people that fell off. Like, I wish all of them well. Most of the people that wrote me, I think they meant well. But when I wrote them back, they probably were like, oh shit, this dude's real. Like, what do I do with this? This was either a bad idea or a commitment or what have you, blah, blah, blah. Never heard from them again. That was like 90% of the people. Wrote them, never heard back. And I never tried again. You know, I just thanked them and I wrote according to whatever their letterhead said, more or less. Like, if they gave me one sentence, I matched them with maybe, like, 2 to 3 to 4, like, a paragraph, something like that. But, you know, if they gave me a page, I gave them a page. If they gave me 2 pages, I gave them about 2 pages. Because it was a respect thing. Like, you took the time to reach out to me in a situation where I am without. I'm in a very, very heavy, very dark, very troubled place. And, you know, thank you. And the 10%, those people I had for quite a while, there was like, you know, some regularity to it. Maybe I'd get a letter once a month, every 2 months, something like that. And most of those people fell off within the 6 to 12 month mark, which is okay. Again, wish them well. Thank you for trying. And it was wonderful to meet all these different personalities and also to, like, see letters from all, not just America, but all over the world. It was so cool. Like, I got some from Brazil. I got I got a few from, you know, like Canada. I mean, that was pretty obvious. I think I got one from like Nova Scotia, like something wild. I got one from Australia. That thing took freaking 6 stamps to mail back. That one was almost not worth it. And I don't even think I heard back from them again. It was a lot of stamps. But yeah, so Portugal, that was one I wrote to that person for a little bit, which was fun. Language barrier was a little hard, but man, they were so nice. They meant so well. So I don't want like the ones that are listening to like, he had millions of pen pals. No, I didn't. And to you again listening, like it was, there was a depth of conversation that we had that I didn't have with those other people. Like I said, like they meant well, but you know, people are very busy. And even the pen pals that I do have and that I can talk through text now, it's not so frequent. You know, everyone's busy. It just happens. Life just happens. And time just gets away from you so fast. Like the days that I lived through while I was in prison, it's so weird because those days took absolutely forever, every second. And now they're starting to become like a distant memory. Like if I really think and focus, like I can kind of put myself there. Oops, hit my hand. And if I really think and focus, like I can still kind of picture my childhood, but time is so strange. Like it just keeps marching on. It's so quick. And it's like, you know, I feel very proud because I've taken, once I got out, like I realistically looked at how long it would take me to do certain things. And that's because prison gives you an exorbitant amount of time on your hands. Like you have a wealth of time. And that can either be great or horrible. And I was somewhere in the middle because it drove me insane. But I also got to plan a lot. And that's why I was able to write this book. That's why I'm now querying agents. That's why I've paid off all my restitution. That's why I'm in the position that I'm in, because I did basically what the stupid shit they teach you in class. Like, when you're a kid, like, come up with goals, come up with your 1, 5, 10 year, like, visualize all this stuff. Like, that, I hate to say, like, it does work, but you obviously have to stick to that. Like, you can hopefully be flexible so you're not so hard on yourself if you miss some of those goals or fall shy or short. But it gives you something to work towards. Like, and that's what life is, you know? You should really just be looking at the next 3 to 5 years, because who knows after that? It's hard to see you tomorrow. But I plan little goals, and I was able to get most of my 1-3s, and I'm working on the 5-1s. But so anyway, let's get back to the pen pal thing. I'm not going to name names because I don't want to, I don't know, disrespect or put your business out there. So I won't name names on any of those things, but it was wonderful to see the diversity of the people that wrote me. Like I had quite a few, and these were the ones that like didn't want a response or it didn't warrant a response. It seemed like I still wrote everyone back, but they wrote me because they were previous alcoholics. And obviously, they don't know my situation, but they wrote me more or less to explain like they either could have been in my position or that they were in my position. And they just said some kind things and hoped that I made it through. There were a few people that were on the religious side. And they wish me very well. And I actually had a very, very long conversation with one of them for about 2 years. He was a pastor. And he had excellent stories because he did a lot of overseas ministries. And he was talking about how he had gone to China and they were trying to do an outreach program there. And also, like, you know, how much different that is as far as not just culture, but also government. And so we had these very long conversations that were just so great. He, you know, brought up his religion and he spoke about his God and his beliefs and whatnot, but he never tried to force it down my throat or anything. He was just like, obviously this is his profession. This is his life when you think about it. So he's just sharing himself. So there's nothing to look down upon about that. And he's had a lot of very encouraging things to say. Great pen pal. Now, oh God, now I've mentioned one of them. Now I'm going to have to mention every single person. Let's see. So, we'll pick some main ones. I met two people, which was great. One of them lived pretty close to me, surprisingly. And they were very nice. It was so awesome to put like a face to the person. We got lunch. We talked for a good while. We had a good time, I believe. And then we went our separate ways. And I think there was kind of a, I want to say a solace or like an understanding, like an, okay, cool. Like we've met, that chapter is closed. So we just parted amicably. We talked for a little bit and then there we go. But while, let me rewind just a little bit. That person, we had an amazing dynamic though, I will say, because she was also a creative type, so she wrote, and her idea was, hey, how about I write one page of a story and you write the next page for that story and we'll just keep going back and forth, in addition to the letters that we're writing. Now that was very challenging. I mentioned somewhere in this podcast, like, hey, you have to remember the thread of the conversation and what you were talking about before. Kind of hard when you're writing a story. And there, like, I was able to keep it up, but there were times, like I was at a disadvantage. She always made copies apparently, but, that was excellent for me because like, I didn't have too many things, you know, in my life. I wasn't distracted by a million things. So I just had that in my head. Like, you know, people can remember a million sports statistics or, you know, whatever's going on at work or blah, blah, blah. I didn't have any of those things to focus on. So I was able to keep that juggling. One of my pen pals, I'm just all over the place now. The other one that I met, he does a lot of work in like prisons and like injustice in prisons and whatnot. He's like more or less an advocate. He's a sports writer from what I understand, but he does do a lot of like work in those departments. He is all about civil rights. He is a very kind and interesting man. He is very introverted, surprisingly. That surprised me, but like he was so cool to meet. Just a great guy. Honestly, I hope he comes back this year, because he visited. I guess he has a, I don't know, like a conference in my city every year or so. So yeah, hopefully he comes back. I had another pen pal that. Why is someone knocking at my door? It's just Amazon. Sorry, guys. I love Amazon. God, it's just mind-boggling because, like, everything I had to get in prison was super expensive and took forever to get there, and now I can just click something on a computer, and it's here in a couple hours. Love it. Love it. Absolutely love it. So, rewind. One of my pen pals, she was going to law school to be a public defender. And, during our basically exchange of letters, like, she passed the bar. She became a public defender. She is working as a lawyer right now and I'm super proud of her. Like, she's awesome. I've never met the girl, but, you know, go for it. Good on you. Like, good stuff. She's also the one that of course called me out. I don't know. It's like 20 episodes ago at this point. About public defenders, like 15 episodes, something like that. So there's a little throwback, some continuity to that. I am very proud of the work that she does. Like, that's excellent. And every once in a while, she'll send me, you know, like an article or a link or something and say, Like she was in the news recently, which was cool. It was a positive story, thankfully. I mean, first half was a little sad, but the second half was thankfully positive. So yeah, it's good to see that she's having some good moments, because on the flip side, she's a public defender and she's also having a lot of dark and terrible bad moments because, you know, she's got to represent, the underrepresented. She's got to be there for the people that people don't want to help or represent or believe in or help or do whatever, you know, the people society is just okay with putting behind bars, like, because we don't have to look at them, we don't have to understand, we don't have to really think about it too much. We're just, they're gone, they're out of sight, out of mind. So keep at it. I am proud of you. That's very hard. I have another pen pal, which you can probably see, like, why these people wrote me, possibly, because one, it's part of the profession, so I don't quite, some of it I think had to do with, like, wanting to, like, understand my side of things and whatnot, and we got to talk about that. I'm glad people wrote to me like I was an open book, because I am. I was always scared that people wouldn't want to talk to me because they, like, what happened was so big, like, they just kind of were like, okay, well, wow, cool, and just, like, let that rest. Well, I need to talk about these things. And so another one of my pen pals, she is trying to be a caseworker for people that need help, like the I don't want to mess up all the terminology, because I know that's something she is, like, getting drilled on in school. Like, okay, I'm getting all over the place again, but this was months ago. She used the word unhoused for what I would normally call a homeless person, because that's just, you know, that's what I grew up with. Like, that was the terminology. That was a homeless person. That person has no home. I mean, I know they have a place where they live or where they stay, but it's not quite a home. So now we just call them the unhoused. Well, what does a house entail then? What does housing entail? Would a lean-to or a shelter still consider them unhoused? I don't know, guys. And also, this might sound a little bit weird, but I don't think they give a fuck about the terminology. I don't think a homeless or a vagrant or an unhoused or I don't know, whatever you want to call them. I don't think they care about the terminology. I think they care about the treatment. I think they care about how they're viewed. I think possibly they care about, like, what they have access to also, which goes into, again, treatment, etc. Yeah, I don't think they care about, unless you're, like, saying some derogatory shit, like, I don't think they otherwise care. But I digress. Anyway, she's trying to help people that are mentally unwell, have basically some things that they're going through. I know last she was doing some work in the prison systems where she lived, going in, seeing what that was all about. So, like I said, some people wrote me because of the alcohol side of things, so there was the connection there. Some of them, people wrote me directly just because of the prison aspect, so there was that connection there and wanting to understand and know and find out more. And then some people just wrote me because they saw this website. Brightaprisoner.com was featured on dozens of websites, like news places like CNN, NBC, blah, 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 whatever. I guess it was on Dr. Phil or Oprah, places like that. So that's why there was a lot of people that wrote it first. And I think it was a trendy thing. You know, I was like, I think a lot of people were like, oh, I saw this thing and I'm going to do this thing. And then they did the thing. And that's why no one wrote back, because they're like, oh my God, I have now done the stuff and the thing and the thing, like, they're writing back. What do I do? So, that's cool. That's fine. I will make mention, now that I'm getting near kind of the end of this, if you're going in to write somebody in prison, which I always encourage you to do, I will let you know, though, it's a roll of the dice. You're obviously writing someone in prison, so that cautionary tale up front should be very obvious. Like, hey, you're writing someone in prison, which I shouldn't like scare you off to, because like it sounds weird when you tell people, but that's right there, that thing right there. That's my point. Why does it sound weird when you say that? Like, oh, I'm just writing my friend in prison or my pen pal in prison. Like, that shouldn't sound weird, but it does to some people. What do you mean you're writing, like, they're in prison and you're writing them letters? Why? Why are you doing that? Like, there has to be a reason, right? What's wrong with that person? Huh? Why are you doing that? And so I just wish it would be kind of more normalized. Like, I'm so glad that it was on these websites and whatnot, but it is a two-way street. You may have a wonderful experience like I did, but you also should keep in mind that some of the people that you may write are not looking to be, I don't know, altruistic. They don't have your best interest in mind, basically. There are some people that want to get you to put money on their account, and that's all they're trying to do is use you. Or maybe send them naked photos of yourself. That could possibly happen. It's funny because I had a lot of dudes like joke about that or tell me that I should also do that when these people are writing me. And that was never my motivation. It wasn't, I did not need money. I did not want money from these people. And some of you guys did end up putting money on my account or sending me books, which the books I always, you know, loved. Thank you. Like, I'll take books all the time. But the money, I was like, I was kind of uncomfortable with. Like, I was very, very, very appreciative. I was so thankful. I was so happy. But I was also like, oh, man, you guys didn't need to do that. And I don't know. There's nothing I could do back. Like, I couldn't even say thank you to your face. Couldn't give you a hug. Couldn't do anything like that. So it always just left me with like an unsatisfied feeling or an empty feeling because I couldn't. It's not like I needed to reciprocate per se, but yeah, I don't know. It's hard to explain. That was just the feeling. So, what else should I talk about? I mean, we're kind of at the end here that I can't even believe it right now. Like, some of these people I've been talking to for years, like actual years, and that's awesome. Like, I've only met two of them, but I hope to meet the rest of you guys. Whenever you make it out here, say hi, please. And I don't know, to anybody out there who's thinking about doing it, look into it. Check it out. Write a prisoner. See what happens. But anyway, this has been the Road Less Traveled podcast. Thank you for listening, guys. It's been another great episode to me. I hope you guys have enjoyed it too. Hope to see you next Wednesday. And yeah, sorry this one's a little late, but I'll try not to make it a habit. Thanks again.